Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Because basically a lot of times we're Catholic, but like it's kind of annoying, you know?
Sure, yeah.
It's like, the homily sucked again and priest said something that he shouldn't have said, and the bishop seems to not really care one way or the other, and mass times don't make any sense, and the music sucks, and the Pope said the thing, and it's like if you are just dealing with that every day and you don't really want to be Catholic, and you look over here and you're like, well, they still have the sacraments and everybody over there actually seems to care, you know, whereas over here it seems like maybe two people care and it's like me and my wife. You know, and everyone else is on their phone during mass. It can wear on you if you're not in it for the long haul. Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast bringing you the latest and greatest on all of the woke right and alt left memes that you need to stay up to date with. But more importantly, we talk about the truths of the Catholic faith. Patrick, that's your name. And my name's Ethan. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
I was hoping you would say, welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast to declare martial law for one day.
Yeah, that was crazy. I forgot about it. That news story happened so fast that I already forgot. That was their January 6th. It was like a thing, man. That happened for a day that impacted nothing ultimately.
But they're probably going to talk about it forever.
Do you think that the K-pop groups are going to have to like kneel in remembrance of like?
They're going to like put on.
Because that one guy got rotated.
They're going to put on American flags. They're going to do something that's like completely outlandish.
Yeah, they're gonna kneel.
Man, that picture of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Did you see the soldier get rotated by the journalist? There was this one. The only video I saw of the South Korean martial law incident, as it's coming to be known, is there's a soldier decked out in gear. What I can only assume to be
call it the Korean conflict.
Yeah, the Korean conflict, present day. And he goes up to this crowd of people. They're all holding up their phones and they're all going, you can't, you know, they're chanting, no justice, no peace type thing. And the soldier goes up and the guy in the crowd just grabs his arm and spins him around and pushes him back. And the soldier just kind of like gives up. He's just like, yeah, I'm not really going to enforce this.
Dang.
he got rotated. It was so funny.
The trick about martial law
is you have to be willing to cap a guy.
Exactly. You can't.
It's not really martial law if you're not going to use violence to enforce
martial law.
Yeah.
I think, forgive me for the Office reference, but it's kind of like, it's kind of like I declare bankruptcy, you know?
If Dwight Schrute was a real person and he was a Christian, he certainly would attend the traditional Latin mass. I think
Mad Trad Dwight Schrute is something that Life Teen did 10 years ago. That's a real bit that they did.
Whoever put that on Reddit, if I had a cannon that I could non-lethally fire someone into the sun, I would put that person in the cannon.
In the non-lethal sun cannon.
Well, they would use the sun's gravity to slingshot and then come back.
I was thinking about this because I was talking to a friend about the railroads in Florida.
Underground or above ground?
Above ground railroads. We don't have underground railroads in Florida anymore.
It's too swampy.
It's
too swampy. You couldn't get. They'd get down there, and then they don't know how to swim, and so they would not be able to.
The alligators used to help, actually. They used to get they would ride alligators to freedom. I'm just kidding.
That would imagine.
So my friend and I were talking about the railroads in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of a raw deal cities get with the railroads, because they have to maintain the railroad crossings.
Oh, yeah.
Because the roads were there second. Like the railroads were there first. And the only reason why the towns exist is because of the railroads were built there. Mm-hmm. And so my friend was like, yeah, every railroad company, or at least the Florida East Coast Railway has contracts with almost every city in Florida in perpetuity, granting them land rights to basically everything surrounding their their tracks, which is just crazy. And he was like, yeah, we can't do anything about those contracts. And I was like, yes, you can. You totally can. The thing is that they're too, like, I was thinking about this. So I was like, wait a second. Contracts mean nothing. Like, we could just come and be like, hey, you don't have that anymore. You don't have those contracts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the railway, that the railroad companies that are powerful, like they have lobbying groups and they have allies that are powerful. They have money behind them, that sort of thing. It just reminds me of that plus the Korea thing. It just reminds me of when we think about politics in our country, we're very like Dungeons and Dragons. Like, well, technically I have a +5 social contract. So that means that my checks and balances outweigh, and we can use the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. And that way we can, it's like, it's not, that's not real politics. Yeah. Real politics is when you tell the soldier to cap the journalist, will he do it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
When you hire the hitman to assassinate the healthcare CEO. That was crazy. I saw that video, and then after I saw Toivo's tweet that was like, you probably shouldn't watch videos of people getting shot. And I was like, dang it, I've let him down.
Probably.
I feel so bad. But I saw it before. I didn't even really know it was going to be that type of video. I just saw it on my, I was like, oh, cool. A closed circuit. I wonder what type of wacky things are going to happen. You know, because usually it's like, oh, a guy walks out of a coffee shop, gets hit by a bike, you know, in Steubenville, Ohio.
Those are great. I love
that. That's what I'm used to seeing. And then it's a man with a silencer killing a CEO.
Killing a man in the back of the head.
That's real politics. That's how things are sorted. That's how things usually get sorted in the rest of the world. It's a very American thing to be like, I'll sue you, which is good. It's not a bad, I'm not saying
we live in a hyper-litigious society as opposed to a hyper-violent society. Yeah.
It's like, genuinely, it's better. It just, I'd rather have the trade-offs of the hyper-litigious society than the trade-offs of the hyper-violent society. Certainly.
Fair. There are some downsides to the hyper-litigious society. For example, your punishment could be 30 years in a box.
You know? But that's only if you are speeding or something.
That's only if you have 2 grams of marijuana. Yeah. It shows intent to sell.
I think there are crimes that warrant being in a box for 30 years.
I think that most crimes that warrant being in a box for 30 years warrant the death penalty. Actually.
You think we should just kill people?
I think if you're going to put someone in a box for 30 years, you might as well kill them. What, like, what? That's basically what you're doing.
This is a great best man speech that you're writing right now.
Thank you. It took me a second, but that was good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Can you imagine? As my great friend Patrick once said, if you're going to put someone in a box for 30 years, you might as well kill them now.
Might as well just kill them.
Good on you, Johnny, for choosing the box. You know, that would be a hit with the boomers, would be doing that type of joke.
Mm-hmm.
But
boomers do love hating their wives.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
We love our wives.
That Tim Robinson, is that what his name is? 55 Burgers, that guy, what's his name?
Yeah.
Is it Tim Robinson? He has a sketch where he's like out at a dinner and, you know, he's like with 2 older guys and they're like, to our wives and our girlfriends, may they never meet. Ha ha ha. And he goes, I didn't find that very funny. I actually really respect my wife. And the guy's like, well, no, if she was here right now, I would not say that. It just, his tone is really good. It's a great little sketch. I need to watch more of his stuff. I think he's very
funny. He did a similar one where the guy's at a, the guy's with his friends and they're all like ragging on their wives, and he's like yeah, you'd be chugging. He's like, oh, can I get another beer? They're like, oh, you're drinking too much. He's like, yeah, you'd be throwing a few back if you had my wife. And he's like, he then goes into a montage of all the things his wife did for him. He like went and got it. It was in a play. And he's like, I shouldn't have said that. And he's like, I'm going home. And the guys, this is the funny part. The guys are like, but we're already all set up. And there's four sleeping bags lined next to each other. Oh, man. It's good. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you should watch wife, I Think Man. You Should Leave for the most part.
For the most part, there's some of it that's bad. Mm-hmm. I've also...
If you're sensitive to the... if you're, my wife did not like the corpses falling out of coffins sketch.
That sounds funny.
People keep saying that I'm doing this on purpose. I didn't do anything.
I don't know what that's referring to, but it sounds funny. It's that great show, and then also I've always wanted to watch Nathan For You, but I haven't. It's one of those shows where it's like, I can't imagine that my wife would enjoy watching this man put these poor people in these circumstances where they have to deal with it.
It will undo my pants, exposing myself in front of all of these children, and this LAPD officer will arrest me.
Yeah. I think it's so funny, that like real world stuff. But yeah, I don't think I'd have to watch on my own, and I'm not watching a ton of TV on my own these days. And if I do, I'm watching season 2 of The Simpsons.
You're watching season 2 of The Simpsons, really working.
Well, if I'm going to be a millennial, I might as well try to learn the canon, you know.
It's true. The old millennials love The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's very important to them. It's when they were young when Conan was writing on The Simpsons.
Yeah. And there's no way to watch. I don't even know if I wanted to watch The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. I wouldn't even know where to go with all of that. Is it streaming? Like, do they have years and years of late night TV just somewhere where I could watch all of them? Would that even be good?
I doubt it.
I get just the sketches and the remotes without the interviews, you know?
That'd be amazing. The interviews.
The only interviews worth watching are the ones with Norm. And those are all already out there. But where did the guy get those?
Yeah, just record them live. I think they destroy them immediately, or they put them on YouTube.
Certainly not. They have archival footage so that they can sell box sets. You know, 50, like when Conan dies, be like, oh, by the way, you can buy the full collection. Like they did with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, remember?
Michael Jackson made more money after he died, in like the week after he died, than he did his whole career. That's because insane. they came out with all of his music, but it was white. It was on a white box this time instead of on like an old gray box.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, my parents bought that Michael Jackson CD. You guys know what I'm talking about. After he died.
He died at the perfect time. He died right before streaming music became popular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You couldn't, like, people were downloading music illegally.
Yeah.
When he died, but people didn't really know. Not too many people knew how to do that, so...
Right.
So to buy CDs.
And we weren't nearly as sensitive to child sex crimes in 2008 as we are now, I think.
Which is strange. Because it's not like Spotlight came out in 2008, I think.
Did no, it? Spotlight came out in 2015.
15?
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong.
That explains
that.
A lot, actually.
It does. 2015 American biographical drama film directed by Tom McCarthy and written by McCarthy and Josh Singer. I still haven't seen it. But no, because we didn't know about Diddy and we didn't know about Epstein, comma Jeffrey.
It's true.
All we knew was like he had a Ferris wheel in his house or something.
Uh-huh.
And like he called it Neverland and he did that weird thing with his voice. And everyone was kind of like, all right. All right.
But Billie Jean was pretty good.
And yeah. So it's
the
like
the anti-gravity shoes was kind of cool.
I saw a tweet that was like OJ, you know, OJ's looking down on XYZ situation. And somebody replied, was like, I don't think OJ's looking down. I think OJ is looking up. And the guy goes, but he rushed for 2,000 yards.
Come on. That's got to count for something. Catholic men. When was the last time you read through the book of the prophet Isaiah? Maybe when you were in college studying theology, maybe never at all. I've read through the book of Isaiah myself multiple times, and I've gotten something new out of it every time. The book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel, and for good reason. It's the book that contains the most references and prophecies of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so it's the perfect book to be reading through during Advent, during this Advent season, which is why I'm excited to be partnering with Exodus 90 for their Advent challenge. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can get a 14-day free trial of their app and try out their Advent challenge that is going on right now. So go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and you'll start reading through the book of the prophet Isaiah. You'll start spending your day in silence. You'll be taking those ice cold winter showers on Wednesday and Friday, and you'll be diving into a more spiritual and more ascetic approach to Advent as we prepare for the birth of Christ. Again, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I got an important question for you.
Yes.
Did you see Big Justice in the most recent Mr. Beast video?
I did. I saw Mr. Beast in the most recent. Mr. Beast looked sick.
I was not looking at all at Mr. Beast. I do not care about Mr. Beast at all.
Can you please pull up Big Justice in the latest Mr. Beast video?
When Big Justice, it was like when I saw Spider-Man No Way Home and Andrew Garfield came out of the portal when Big Justice came on the video. I was like, no way. I had the grin ear to ear. I almost cried because Big Justice, he heard that if Bryce Harper won the hitting contest, then $100,000 would go to charity. And Big Justice was like, oh, no, wait, now I want to lose. I was like, oh, you young diabetic boy. You're so kind and generous. You want the money to go to charity. And then he wins. He beats Bryce Harper in the home run derby. And he gets $100,000? He won $100,000 and he cried. He was so happy. Big Justice.
Big Justice? That's amazing.
Yeah, it was an incredible... I've checked out of a lot of Mr. Beast videos, but I watched this one because I saw I had like Ronaldo and Tom Brady and all these people, and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And it was one of the best ones he's done in a long time, I think, because he had just normal people competing against athletes. There's actually a legitimately laugh out loud funny where he had his friend race Noah Lyles, and his friend is like built like Danny DeVito, just like a short, overweight dude. And he was so funny. Like, he was legitimately, like, a funny guy making fun of himself because he knew he was, you know, short and fat and he was racing the gold medal sprinter. And it could have been, like, awkward or cringe, but he picked the perfect dude. And I was like, finally, some real comedy, you know, on the world stage. That's all I care about. I'm happy for Big Justice. That's all I wanted to share with you because you introduced me to the Costco family.
I did. When I said the Costco guys used the Rizzler as a battering
ram. The Rizzler a battering ram? Yeah, that's when I started to pay more attention.
I finally started watching.
If that really happened, I need to be keyed in with these people. I think they're what
that's
America
right,
needs
right now.
That's
right, because you thought I made that up. You thought I made up the Costco guys and the Rizzler.
I knew that they were real. I did not know that they used the Rizzler as a battering ram. And I did not know that actually happened.
They have this little dance they do with the, yeah. and Mr. Beast just couldn't do it. He just like, they filmed him and he's like, that's Mr. Beast. It's like such a simple dance. You just do this and you kick. And, right. And he's just like,
he couldn't do
his
it.
His skills are in other things. He's yeah. autistic in other ways.
Yeah. He put all of his points into,
his stats got boosted in marketing. And yeah. his dancing stats are nerfed.
I don't know what it is, but every time they say they go boom, it makes me laugh. Is that so bad? Good. Should I not laugh when they say boom? Because
you should laugh at them when they say boom.
It's so we should have a little phrase that we do, you know? Like instead of we bring the boom, it's like and that's the crunch. You know, and we both kind of go hang every time we make a good point.
I think we should do it.
Right, fine. You come up, Mr. Ideas guys over there. you come up with something.
I'll go up with something. I want to come up with a topic.
Okay.
For our episode today.
Sure.
Do we have some kind of topic for? Do you have a topic for our episode today?
So when you said I want to come up with a topic, and then you asked me to come up with the topic, you didn't.
No. I'm asking you if you already have one. I don't want to step on your topic.
Well, I was gonna keep talking about Big Justice for a while.
that was going to be the topic.
That's all I had. I knew I wanted to mention it. But no, I did nothing beyond that. You know, I just enjoy spending time with
you. I wanted to talk about the wife Jack.
We talked about wife Jack last week, bro.
Did we really?
Yes, and then Nick Fuentes and the whole thing.
We talked about that last week?
We did.
Dude, we totally did. You're so right.
Yeah.
Man, guys, I'm losing it.
Get out of your bubble, bro.
I'm losing my freaking mind.
Why?
I don't know. It's just gone. Man, last week, where did last week even go? It was Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving.
No one was thinking about anything. I wasn't thinking about anything.
You weren't thinking
about
anything.
That's right, because Katie texted me all mad about the Back to the Future correct opinion that I have. Never mind then. Do you want to talk about transgenders on the Supreme Court?
I don't even know what that means.
They're deciding a case about gender reassignment surgery for children.
Oh, I thought we were potentially electing a transgender judge.
Well, they got a bunch of men in dresses. Or did they already decide it?
Sotomayor was like, you know what? I'm feeling a change.
More like Sodom. Never mind.
Come on. That's crass. That's disgusting.
Because it ends with her. It ends with her, and it didn't. It was going to go a different direction than I wanted it to.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Because
don't
her,
because
it sat like her first name, the first part of it sounds like Sodom, and she's pro homosexuality.
That was the joke
I was going to make. You get it.
I was with you. Yeah.
So the United States versus.
You can talk about the War of the Worlds tripods if you wanted. You know the big horn sound that they go? I'm just vamping while you pull up your thing. You have it ready?
So it's likely that the courts are going to... So they haven't made a decision yet. They've made arguments.
What's in question? Give me some context, because I don't know. I look at K-State portal transfers on X... And I see your tweets on your alt, and I know that Bitcoin now is at 100K, and that's just about as much as
I've
consumed. That's all I know.
So, in March of 2023, the Tennessee House of Representatives passed a bill prohibiting certain kinds of penis chopping surgeries. Gender affirming care is the term. Certain kinds of bodily changes. It does not restrain hormonal changes. So it doesn't go far enough, in my opinion.
All right.
The Biden administration sued the state of Tennessee for this bill. They said, you can't do that. And the district court was like, okay, hold off. This bill isn't in effect yet. We're going to take this to the Supreme Court. And so the suit was brought by three transgender teens who wanted to change their genders, attempt to. The Tennessee lawmakers are championing parental rights. So they're like, we want to make sure parents have rights to do this. It looks like legal experts predict that should Supreme Court uphold Tennessee's law, access to many other forms of health care for both children and adults could be impacted, including gender affirming care and abortion access.
Great.
Yeah, sounds like a slam dunk in my opinion. Do you think they're trying to push this really quickly through? Like they're just like, let's get this through quickly before Trump gets in, so we can ban bans on gender affirming care.
They're trying to ban bans. So Tennessee bans it.
Yeah.
And then the United States government says, well, we're actually Uno reverse card. We're going to ban your ban. Mm-hmm. And then could the state of Tennessee come back with a just say no from Monopoly Deal and be like, we're going to ban your ban. Or is
it's just kind of a farce in my opinion.
When
because clearly states do not care what the federal government says, because they did you break up? I think I talked over you in accident. There we go.
You want to break up with me?
No, you broke up. Like your feed broke up and I talked over you.
We're broken up?
Okay, there must be a delay of some kind.
The delay is severe. Noodles.
That wasn't too far.
No, it's good. Keep going with your explanation.
I mean, the weed is still illegal in the United States, but not in Colorado, which is in the United States. So, like, what is all of, can someone with a law degree answer this question for me?
Of like, as Abraham Lincoln once said, a house that sues its own states will definitely stand for a long time.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It's unfortunate because I don't know. What do you think will happen? Do you think the ability to access transgender surgeries will become according to the Supreme Court, a constitutional right in the same way that Roe v. Wade was passed and the Obergefell decision, whatever it was.
It's not Oberger.
Oberfell.
Obergefell. It sounds like a place in World of Warcraft. I don't think it will, because don't we have the majority of people that are not insane on the
Supreme
Court?
It doesn't matter. We had the majority a couple of years ago in the
gay marriage one.
We had the majority in the gay marriage one, and we had the majority, I think, and we had the majority in another transgender thing that recently the Supreme Court defended the right for transgender people to. It wasn't bathrooms. I don't know what it was.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. It's tricky because I think there's enough. I mean, if they overturned Roe v. Wade, I can't imagine that they would come in and be like, well, we want to return abortion to the states, but we also want to ban bans on gender reassignment surgeries federally, you know, like that seems not, according to jurisprudence, it doesn't seem consistent with their previous ruling, you know, with regards to healthcare. So I don't think they would do it, but I'm not that worried. Are people worried about this? Are people talking about it? I haven't seen a lick of conversation about this. So I'm coming in completely cold on this topic.
Oh, it's just, I've seen a couple of articles about it. It's just, it's a big deal when the federal government sues a state government, and it's a hot button issue. Some would say that it's the issue that decided the election.
Maybe that's true. I do think that if they lose, this should be the final whimper of the trans thing. Mm-hmm. Because it just doesn't have legs, you know.
Yeah.
It's too beyond the pale for the average person to get on board with, especially when it's like when it's clearly children and they're clearly targeting it at children. I think just most people, it just sets people's the bat signal goes up, you know?
Rightly so, I think.
So they're like, why do you care so much about this surgery?
Like, Yeah.
Why isn't anybody trying to give my son steroids so that he can become the next LeBron James? Why are they only trying to give him drugs that will turn him into the next Letitia James?
I think it's at a certain point you're like, I get it. You want to dress up like a woman. Why do you have to do it at the kids section in the children's in the library? Like, why do you have to do it at the school?
You want
to
dress up as a woman. Why do you need serious organ reconstructive surgery to do? I mean, if people dress up as women for centuries.
Correct.
Even before, I don't know if you've seen The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson as director, but King Herod has a little eyeshadow on, you know?
Yeah,
he's got,
man,
a little, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know how accurate that is to how he. I mean, we went to Israel and they didn't talk about that.
We went to King Herod's house.
We went to King Herod's house and they did not mention that he maybe on occasion had a little eyeshadow on. I asked the tour guide and he said,
did you really?
No, I didn't.
That's something you would have done though.
I would have asked Hani. I don't know if I would have asked the whoever we were working with, you know, at any individual place. That would be mean.
Yeah, good point.
Stopping the Orthodox priest that's yelling at me in the Holy Sepulchre. Be like, I have a question.
Dude, speaking of the Orthodox, I withheld my dunk on Twitter, but yeah. I'm gonna say it here because I actually found it. Someone said there are Orthodox churches all over the world where you can go and you can worship, and I'm like, yeah, that's like technically true, but I was like, hold on a second, how many Orthodox churches are there in the world? And it's about tens of thousands. So it's about, like, they say 30,000. Do you know how many subways there are in the world? 37,000, actually.
There's more subways in the world than there are
Orthodox churches.
Do you mean individual subway cars or subway trains or subway systems? What do you mean when you say subway?
Sandwich shops.
Oh.
Yes.
I thought you meant the transportation thing.
Like,
I was like,
subway,
that's a weird thing to compare it to.
Subway sandwich chain, yeah.
Wow.
There's more subway sandwich shops than there are Orthodox parishes. And so I was gonna post those two Google search screenshots together, but I don't like when Luigi gets mad at me on Twitter.
He's a nice guy.
As a person. He's a nice guy.
He could beat both of us up.
I don't know. I've seen pictures. I think he's short.
I think he's the big buff one, or maybe Mario is the buff one.
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I think it's. Did you see that article from the? I think it may be the Times or the Post that was a bunch of people are converting to Orthodoxy. Young men are converting to Orthodoxy.
No, I don't know. I did see that. I think that might be a better topic, actually.
Yeah, let's see this. Young men converting to Orthodoxy. Let's see. The New York Post. Young men are converting to Orthodoxy in droves. Leaving traditional churches for masculine Orthodox Christianity.
Chat GPT.
Ben Christensen. I know, right? Droves. Ben Christensen was raised Anglican, church every Sunday, religious school, and Christian camp every summer. But Christensen, 27, of Fairfax, Virginia, always found himself longing for a more traditional faith. The hard thing about growing up in my church is that there was a lot of change, even in my lifetime, he told the Post. I realized there was really no way to stop the change. The robe choir was swapped out for a band, lines were blurred on female ordination, and long-held stances on LGBTQ issues were shifted. And so, the mainline dominations are hemorrhaging. There's more an awareness of Orthodoxy than there used to be. And now he goes to St. Mary's Orthodox Church in Falls Church, Virginia. The question is, why aren't they coming over to our side? You know? Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach. And so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe.
Going from Anglicanism to Orthodoxy is kind of like, hey, let me get like, oh no, the Titanic is sinking. Let me go on this other ship that's been sinking for longer.
You think the Orthodox are sinking?
I think something, I think the sacraments are holding them together.
Is that not true for our church that we're in?
Yes, it is true.
So, what's your beef?
It's very clear where, in my opinion, I often get accused of this on Twitter of like, that's popular opinion fallacy. I don't think that's the case. What I'm about to say, I don't think it's popular opinion fallacy.
Preempt your argument before you make it.
Yeah, I know, right? There are more Catholics than Orthodox by like a factor of 100 times.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Sure.
The difference between the number of Orthodox, and they're not even united with each other. So like that's being extremely generous with giving them, you know, you all get to be together. There are just billions of us, and there's hundreds of thousands of them. And so it's clear where the Holy Spirit is. God was like, I'm gonna send my church to all nations, and the Catholic Church is like, cool, we're in all nations, and the Orthodox Church is like, well, we're the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. It's like, what does that mean? You know what? We're the Ukrainian Church. That's us. We have like we're kind of connected to the others, but it's just the Orthodox Church is very segmented, and it by definition can't grow to the scale that the Catholic Church can.
I mean, if you look at Catholic churches today, it does look like, by definition, they are incapable of growth also.
Depends on where you look.
That's true.
So this is... I'm hesitant to give it up to the schismatics. I think we as Catholics are too quick to give it up to the schismatics.
We as Catholics believe that we cannot give it up for the schismatics.
Yes. It's... for example... I hear this all the time. Protestants really know their Bible. Is that true still? Is that still true? Because I post Bible verses sometimes, and they're like, where did you get
that?
Where
is that in the Bible?
St. Paul, man. St. Paul, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Like it's and they're like, oh, so, Protestant churches are much more welcoming than Catholic. Are you sure? Is that true? Because the stereotype is the opposite. If you're, you know, for people that are outside of Christianity in general. And so like, I told you this already. It's the Michigan bias, right? I talked about this on an episode of The Crunch. Maybe it was the bonus show, but it was the, on a scale of 1 to 50, where does rank?
Where's Michigan fall? Yeah. And if you think of Ann Arbor,
you think of Grand Rapids or whether you think of Ann Arbor, whether you think of Detroit. And so it's like when you think of, are the Protestants welcoming, do you think of the Westboro Baptist Church or do you think of the nice, friendly Elevation Church? Like, the Protestant churches are successful. Do you think of the Lutheran church down the street that has 10 people every Sunday? Or do you think of Hillsong? You know, what do you think of when you think of Protestant? And so the same is true with Orthodox. It's like the Orthodox Church is very beautiful and very traditional. Okay, cool. Do you think of the Hagia Sophia or do you think of St. Anthony, which meets in like a strip mall, which still happens because the Orthodox are small. They don't have a lot of money. So, it's like they got drywall and they got the little windows, you know? Anyway, I don't know. I need to see the numbers to be like droves.
Psychologist and author Jordan Peterson, who has developed a massive following among young men, told the Post he's noticed a growing number of Gen Z boys trending towards orthodoxy. Don't observe those boys too closely, Jordan. We all know what can happen. In part, he theorizes, because tradition makes it unquestionable. Unlike a Protestant service, which is much more dependent on the preacher, you can't criticize an Orthodox service. It's like going to a ballet and saying, "What's going on here?" "Well, that's a stupid question," Peterson told the Post. "It's my best, as best I can do on short
that's
notice."
That was actually that. The tenor wasn't there, but the cadence was the cadence.
I know. I got the cadence right. I got to work on dialing in the.
It's a lot like a Trump impression, actually. There's just a specific je ne sais quoi that only Shane Gillis can quite replicate. But yes, I think he's right in the eternalness of the ortho. Mm-hmm. I do think it's funny that the Protestants are converting to the Protestant version of Catholicism.
It is unfortunate that for this article they picked the most orthodox looking guys that you can find to put images in here. It's like,
however, the other main problem is that converting to orthodoxy is a very Catholic thing. Let me explain.
Please.
The Orthodox do not have a storied tradition of evangelization. You don't have Orthodox monks going across the Atlantic Ocean to the New World for good reason, or even spreading up into Europe or going down into Africa, sub-Saharan. Like, you know, there's Ethiopian Orthodox, but that's because they were there first, right? It's, you have to be,
that's where the Ark of the Covenant is.
Yes. Orthodoxy is very generational. You are born Latvian Orthodox, you know, like you're born Latvian Orthodox and there you stay.
Yeah.
And very
the whole
people...
episode of George converting to Orthodoxy is so funny, because all they do is they give him some books to read and then he wears an alb and holds a candle. That's all he does to convert. As far as I know, that's all it takes for these guys.
They don't.
These,
they baptize you, yeah.
These late 20 Gen Zers, they just read a few books by Father Seraphim Rose and then they pretend to have read the Brothers Karamazov, and then the priests are like, "Come on down."
Yeah, right.
Are there any women?
If they are, they're already married. What?
That's just the way you said that. like you know.
But
I'm not as critical of these people as you are. I think it's good.
There's a joke among the Orthodox community where it's like, "Yes, my name is Alexandro Stephanopoulos," and it's like a white guy from Michigan who became Orthodox, you know.
Yes.
"I've changed my name."
Yeah.
You have to kind of adopt the Greekness. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's in order to convert, you have to kind of like transculturize yourself. Perhaps
well,
this is tied
what you're talking
in
about
the transgender. Early,
yeah,
you know?
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
You know, it's like, whereas Roman Catholicism is very Roman, it incorporates other cultures into itself. It like conquers and it absorbs. Whereas Orthodoxy is by its very nature separated into nations, which is why Jesus did not establish the church like this. It's why Jesus didn't make the church the way the Orthodox imagine he did. He made it one pope, bunch of bishops, not a bunch of bishops that all make their own decisions, because then what happens is orthodoxy, which is not as fast growing, it's not as welcoming to outsiders. They won't even recognize your marriage. You know? They don't think you're married.
They're wrong.
I'm wrong that the Orthodox don't think that you're married.
No, they're wrong. I am married.
Yeah, yeah. But like that's how closed off Orthodoxy is to other people. They don't like recognize the validity of.
You're so apologetics brained that you can't see that this is good. You know, would we rather them convert to Catholicism? Absolutely. Is it better that they're now Orthodox instead of being in an Anglican or like Presbyterian or Lutheran church? Yes, they have access to more sacraments than they did before, so it's a positive change.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think they now have access to more grace, which means they will now have access to more
but I'm not talking about opportunities on the individual level.
Okay, I understand your problems with the Orthodox at the macro level, but nobody cares about that. It's like saying, like, well, I think Russia should stand down. Who cares? You know, that's like the interesting story is like individual soldiers on the ground. You know, that's the thing that's real.
Sure.
So, I mean, you can talk about the macro all you want, but this is not a Catholic Answers podcast. You know, I hear you're getting into Catholic radio. You know. So maybe you're just prepping. Maybe you're using me to prep for your big debut.
I'm not getting into Catholic radio
over the FM airwaves. DJ.
I'll take over.
Apologetics.
When Catholic Answers calls me and says, "Hey, we want you to take over Catholic Answers Live," I'll be there, baby. I'll be in the studio. I'll be on the mic. I'll grow my beard out. I'll get a cowboy hat.
Hot apologetics in the morning. 94.5 Catholic Pat. I could do that for you. That could be my job.
That'd be so fun.
I would do it live every day with like a different thing. Like it would be, I'd play a car crash sound effect. You know,
dude. People still listen to Catholic Answers.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it's good programming.
Dude, dads, they listen to Catholic Answers, man.
My mom listens to Dr. David Anders every day because he answers her questions.
Do you remember when I did that like Ave Maria radio?
No,
it's the guy that took over Al Cresta's show.
No.
So Al Cresta, he was the drive time EWTN radio, Catholic radio host. He died. Someone took over his show. They DM'd me and said, "Hey, we want you on the show." I went on the show, did not know who this was. I went on the show. All of a sudden, every dad over the age of 50 in my parish was like, "Patrick, I heard you on the radio."
You were on
radio. I didn't think anybody was listening to that. I was a little too loose with my
Patrick,
opinions.
You had an FCC violation. I got it in the mail because it came to the Crunch LLC. I had to settle it for thousands of dollars out of court.
Before you said thousands of dollars, you had me. I was like, I bet that happened.
I pay a lot of bills that you know nothing about.
Is that so?
Yes.
As long as my check clears every month, I'm good.
All right. Okay. As long as you get yours. Maybe the lefties on Twitter are right about you. Maybe you are just in it for the money.
Oh, man. I hate them.
Maybe I'll become Orthodox just to piss you off.
I need to hate them less. My sister-in-law's friend converted to Orthodoxy, and I just laid into him.
How does that help anybody?
They converted from Catholicism to Orthodoxy, and I was like, "You silly goose!"
Yeah,
They were like thinking about it, and they were like, "Oh, but it's the community," and I was like, "Or no, it was like
I get it.
It was a tradition. I understand that. I get it, but it was like, it's so I understand. It's like, but it's just so much more than that, and we need to be like, you know, anyway." Not everybody can go to an awesome parish, so I want to be sympathetic.
Not everyone can go to an awesome parish, and not everybody has the I don't know what it is, the history or the family or the whatever to like. Because basically, a lot of times we're Catholic, but like it's kind of annoying, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the homily sucked again, and priest said something that he shouldn't have said, and the bishop seems to not really care one way or the other, and mass times don't make any sense, and the music sucks, and the Pope said the thing, and it's like if you are just dealing with that every day and you don't really want to be Catholic, and you look over here and you're like, well, they still have the sacraments and everybody over there actually seems to care, you know, whereas over here it seems like maybe two people care and it's like me and my wife. You know, and everyone else is on their phone during mass. It can wear on you if you're not in it for the long haul, which some people aren't. I mean, they want to be in it for the Lord and they want to have real experiences and they're just not finding that in the church, which is our fault, you know? So it's like, I can't blame them at all. There's a little bit of blame because like you should know. But I empathize very heavily with these people that are converting to Orthodoxy because it's like you walk into the average Catholic parish in America, what is there to capture you? You know, you might get lucky and walk into one of the beautiful ones. Odds are you won't. you know, and odds are that they'll have mass, you know, 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, so that you can never go because you have a job. And so it's tough out there for the young street soldier. There was another thing. You said something.
Sympathy.
No. No. Anyway, not important. These good thoughts. I think we should wrap up.
Yeah.
Do the bonus
Much
show.
Love to my ortho homies out there.
Yes.
The true middle children of the Christian world. Everyone dotes upon the Protestants and envies the Catholics, but it's truly the Orthodox that get forgotten, and that's a hard place to be.
Yeah. And they'll be, I mean, they're going to reunite with Rome eventually. You know,
it's
all
just
roads
a matter of time.
And whatnot.
Except for the Russian state church. That's a bummer.
Yeah. We'll talk about what all of this means in the context of what's going on in the world with Russia, UFOs, the millennial reign of Jesus. I found a 200-page Google Drive document on X by a guy who thinks we're in the short season of Satan that's coming to a close, and UFOs are going to be the reason that it all kicks off in the Arctic. Keep your eyes out, everybody. So if you want to hear about that, tune into the bonus
page
show.
Say that, all right.
I skimmed it.
I threw it into ChatGPT and said, "Summarize, please."
Actually, it's not a bad idea. Hold on. Let me do that.
It won't do that unless you pay for it. It won't summarize.
I do pay for ChatGPT with the Crunch card.
Hey,
I use it for email stuff. I promise.
I could use that too.
Sure, by all means. If there's a software subscription that you want to get that you would use at all for to help you with this podcast, I use it to help analyze data. I download the tweets. I say, analyze the tweets. Tell me which ones perform the best. Give me a list.
Can we use the same ChatGPT?
No. I think as we age, we need to stop sharing accounts. I think we need to grow up and pay for our own accounts.
You can have seats on an account. That's what I'm asking you.
I don't want to sit anywhere near you.
I try to make sure when we have a software subscription, we have one account, so there's one payment.
Yeah, that's a good
point. And the access has two separate logins. Like Thrivecart now, we can log into.
That's true. That's true after a year. Anyway, if you want to hear about the Google Drive document that I read, 200 pages, about Hyperborea and the lost civilization of Tartaria, go to patreon.com/thecrunch.
$10 a month. I'm so excited for this bonus podcast, actually. I want to hear more about this.
$10 a month and up, and you'll hear the secrets of the universe.
Ethan found Atlantis, and he wants to tell us about it.
I think I know where it is. If we just could get a team together.
I didn't find it, but if I could get a burro, I will go down there, and I will see it.
I need a team of an Italian guy who runs a flower shop and blows things up, and a big, buff, black guy who's a doctor, and a sassy a mechanic Latina, and I also need a disgusting guy named Cookie to make me slop and gruel, and I also need a beautiful Atlantean woman to take me under her wing and teach me the ways of the crystal. That's all I need.
What is this from?
Have you ever seen the movie Atlantis, The Lost
no,
Empire?
I haven't.
You haven't? Dude. We might not even do the bonus podcast. We might just watch it and commentate on it tonight. And I'll have two fingers of whiskey, and I'll show you this beautiful film that you've never seen in your life. All right.
Good.
No, we won't do it another time. All right. Thank you for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.